right, hooligans, it's time for another episode, another Star Wars episode.
Another Star Wars episode. Oh, Tim, I feel like we've done a lot of these.
You can never do too many. I can never talk about Star Wars enough.
Thank you, Disney, for cranking out the content.
I mean, I wish they'd get a little less sloppy about it, but...
Sure.
I think we're starting to learn that... I think trying to do TV and movies is hard, and I think Marvel's learning that, too.
Yes. The hard way.
Yeah, man, it's tough. That's why DC doesn't do it. I mean, they've got... CW. That's different. That's a different deal.
I don't care, man. Superman and Lois is one of the best shows out there, and I don't care.
Well, and it's superhero. Good. It's good because it's not trying to be integrated with a movie.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's standalone. Even if it's connected to other shows, they still do the Arrowverse shit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's a thing.
They still do that.
Even though there's no Arrow, they still do the verse.
The verse.
Yeah.
What's it called now?
I think it's still called the Arrowverse. Yeah,
that's what I thought. So, all right, man. Well, we're going to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi today. The show, not the guy.
We'll talk about the guy.
Yeah, but the show.
The show.
Talk about the long history leading up to this. You know, what happened?
He's been there from the very start.
I think I had all my, you know, anything I wanted to see, I think I saw, except for, you know, maybe I was like, it'd be great to get, like, some Clone Wars flashbacks and see a little Ahsoka with them, but I feel like we're going to get that in her show.
That would be a prime spot for him to make a cameo.
I mean, but obviously Lucasfilm is no stranger to, like, just shit-ass timing, you know? Yeah. And I just mean by throwing the first Ahsoka-Luke meeting on screen in the Grogu storyline of Boba Fett. I mean, it was just all fucked up. It was like, I felt like it was in three different storylines that it had no business being in. Anyways, we're going to talk about Obi-Wan today. No five questions from David.
No, we've exhausted the pool of five questions. I mean,
if you
for
have
Star
any
Wars.
Questions you want to ask me as this goes on, feel free.
All right, I'm sure.
Give a shout out.
We'll develop.
All right, man. All right, we're going to talk about Obi-Wan, the Disney Plus show. Long time in the making here. This, I think at one point, was going to be a movie. Then I heard it was maybe going to be a movie trilogy, but at least at one point it was going to be a movie.
I think I prefer this as the show over a movie.
Yeah.
I think this story worked better for me anyway.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, all right. This is given to us by Deborah Chow, who brought us an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and it was a good one.
I like Deborah Chow. I thought she was a fine choice. Now, the show had great things and some not-so-great things, but I think the not-so-great things are things that are common with, like, all shows right now. You know, I think when you just talk about maybe the show, like Stranger Things, we've talked about the stretching storylines out over too many episodes, you know, or
that was the main complaint that we had with the Marvel shows on Netflix. They didn't need to be 13 episodes. They needed to be 8.
Well, the Marvel shows were only, they didn't, none of the Disney Plus shows were 13.
No. The Marvel on Netflix.
Oh, gotcha.
The Punisher and Daredevil and
that's too many.
Yeah, especially for a character like Luke Cage. It was too much.
But then again, I don't think 6 is enough.
You think it could have been 8?
Maybe. I don't know, man. I think a lot of these, I think 8's a good sweet spot.
8's a sweet spot, yeah.
8 to 10, depending on how much actual story you have. I don't know. I could have put Obi-Wan out a couple more episodes. But let's talk about what it's about first. All right. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's been 10 years since Revenge of the Sith, since he sliced and diced Anakin Skywalker, left him for dead on Mustafar. And then Palpatine saved his ass and turned him into a machine. Darth Vader guy.
Darth Vader.
He turned him into a Darth Vader guy. So, it's been 10 years. Obi-Wan's just living, chilling on Tatooine.
Hiding out.
Watching Luke like
keeping
a stalker.
An eye out. Yeah.
Yeah. Working at a meat processing plant or something. Yeah,
cutting some stuff up.
Something like that. So, yeah, man, he's just chilling on Tatooine. And the Sith, I'm sorry, let's call them, what are those people called? The Inquisitors are looking
Inquisitors.
Yeah. The Inquisitors have been seen in Rebels, so this is their first live action appearance. What'd you think of them?
Menacing group.
Yeah, I like the Inquisitors, yeah. Man. Jason Isaac plays the Grand Inquisitor on Rebels. Voices him.
Yes.
Jason Isaac did Malfoy's dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, we are introduced to the third sister, played by Moses Ingram. Mm-hmm. Moses Ingram is the subject of all of the wonderful Star Wars backlash, because every time Star Wars comes out, fans have to racially attack one of the actors.
And just in the lowest of ways. And if there's something that you can just really point a finger at with Star Wars fans and say, what the hell, guys, this is it. Because I mean,
they're just racist little bitches.
It happens every time.
Yeah,
every damn time.
It was the girl from that played Rose.
Yeah,
in episode whatever 8.
Even before they knew who he was and what was going on, when we saw Finn as a stormtrooper in the trailer, they attacked them.
Oh, there's a black stormtrooper.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Black stormtroopers. Yeah.
They're not black in the books, man.
Shut up. Shut up, all of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. And so she got, attacked. Her character's kind of overwritten a little bit. Now, first episode, she rolls into Tatooine looking for another Jedi, not necessarily Obi-Wan Kenobi. Trying to fish out, and I'm glad she killed that dude. I kind of wish we would have seen it on screen.
Yeah.
One of the Safdie brothers. That fucking dude made that shit-ass Adam Sandler movie, Uncut Gems. That movie fucking sucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tim coming with you. Yeah. Aggression today. I like it. Tim.
So the Inquisitors show up, and you get Owen involved, Joe Edgerton. How about that guy? That guy's like one of the biggest stars to come out of the prequels that wasn't already a star.
Yeah.
Because, Liam, Natalie, Ewan, they were all stars.
Established.
He was basically the biggest. He's the guy that's kind of had the biggest career that came out of that.
Yeah.
He directs, and he's in Gatsby. He's in all kinds of shit, but we were just talking about Gatsby. But yeah. So, and Obi-Wan is kind of, he's kind of hiding, and we get to see that he sees this guy being attacked or sees him hurting people, and he's got to chill back, man. He can't blow his own cover.
He's going against his nature.
It's the difference in the Obi-Wan Kenobi we knew is, it's against his nature. He just kind of steps back into the shadows and disappears. The plot of the show kicks up at the end of the first episode when Flea kidnaps little Princess Leia.
Flea. What an appearance that guy made.
And okay, first of all, I'm very proud of Flea for making this appearance.
Yeah.
Just because I remember when Phantom Menace came out, and MTV was always doing like coverage of what, everybody did coverage back
premieres,
then.
Yeah.
But I watched MTV more back then. And I just remember they always had, they're always talking to celebrities. Oh, did you like Star Wars when you were a kid? Are you excited about Flea? He was always on. Somebody was always talking to fucking Flea about Star Wars. He was like, oh man, I can't wait, and blah, blah, blah. And so it's like, he's in it now, Yeah. So I'm like, good for him. And the same goes for Kumail Nanjiani, man.
So great.
Because when we had him on this show, we asked him his dream role. And at the time he said, oh man, if I get in Marvel or Star Wars, I mean, and I meant to look up
and the got both.
And he's in both of them within the last year, so that was kind of cool. And I liked his character too. But so okay, so Princess Leia gets kidnapped. She's like 10 years old. She's played by this adorable, adorable kid. Oh my gosh, Vivian Lyra Blair.
She is just the most adorable little kid, Tim.
She is. I thought she was great. And let's see, she was born in 2012. So, she's right at, like, that 10-year-old age. Very, very precocious, very smart. I thought she did a great job of being scared without being the screaming kid.
Yes.
But also being... handling scenes with both Moses and Obi-Wan and Ewan, you know? The scene with Moses when what's her character? Reva is the third sister's name. Where she gets Leia, kidnaps Leia, and she's does the little stare, you know.
Yes.
And she's just like, "Is this a staring contest?" You know, she did a really good job of handling scenes with the adults, man. And that's tough with a kid, is to have a kid on screen for that much time and not have them be like annoying.
She stole a couple of scenes with Ewan McGregor early on. There's a scene where she reads him like a book, and she nailed every beat in that scene. Yeah. And just so eloquently picked him apart for a... what's coming from a 10-year-old.
Right.
And stuff that I'm thinking like, oh yeah, why didn't I see that? Now is this little 10-year-old got that. So right. She just masterful for, and she did for that being
with,
that kid.
There was that scene where with her cousin at the little party before yes. she got kidnapped in Alderaan.
Yes.
She's totally force reading that dude.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're scared. You're kind of scared. Oh, you're kind of like intimidated by your dad. Oh, you're just kind of a pussy. I totally see it now. Oh. You're not this big, cool guy. You're just a big pussy. You know, and she just totally just wipes his ass yes. in front of his friends. And he's just like, ooh. I mean, obviously she didn't use that language because he's a 10-year-old child on Alderaan. She's the princess of Alderaan, David. She can't talk like that.
No.
But, you know. Good job for her. I mean, yeah. I liked her, you know. In a weird storyline, it's a tough storyline to go into because of this word. We're going to say this word a lot in this episode, canon. Because apparently canon means nothing else can happen in between events that we know. This would be like, okay, David, what's the company work for now? Do you want to say, what do you do now? What's your job?
I work for a tech company called Distributor Central.
Cool. 2022, you work for Distributor Central. This would be like in 2032, you work for, I don't know, Sprint Center, whatever. Who's Sprint Center? Somebody, Google. Let's say you work for Google in 10 years, okay?
Okay.
This doesn't make sense to me, David, because you worked for, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like, okay, and I'll get to this point. Okay, so in New Hope, we meet Princess Leia and Obi-Wan Kenobi through the famous, years ago, you served my father in the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. It's the message R2-D2 delivers.
Yes.
Now, the argument here is she doesn't know him. How can he save her? And then years later, they don't know each other? Well, in New Hope, I don't ever remember a scene where Obi-Wan goes, I don't know that bitch.
Yeah.
And she never says, I don't know that dude.
And ooh. After how many years apart can she not just say, remember who I am? I'm, you know, you helped my dad.
Well, and here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. With anything, with any creative, so you have to have the creative freedom to tell your story.
Yes.
Within your set parameters, right? I mean, you know, obviously. So sometimes you have to flex. And you have to be willing to flex as to
yes.
what something meant when you hear it. Because sometimes you can hear something when you're a kid, and then you hear it again when you're an adult. You're like, oh, that's what that shit means. I get it now. Actually, I read that a little bit differently than I did 10 years ago when I heard it. So now when I hear her speech at the beginning through R2-D2, I hear a princess who's delivering a very diplomatic message over a channel that may be intercepted by Imperials. That's just very, General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Very impersonal.
Yeah.
Until the end. When she says, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. And that is the message from that. You know, so that's the princess giving her veiled, here's, you know.
Her political.
Yeah. I don't know this guy. Help. I need help. But that's the, hey, dude, I'm fucking being kidnapped again. You need to come get me.
Yeah.
And even when Luke says who he's with, she responds with a Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she doesn't, I don't need her in that moment to be like, I know that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you this story like 10 years ago. Yeah,
can we have a flashback episode here real quick? Right. You
know, I don't need this, David. I can fill in these blanks later. So we have a show that's steering canon in a different direction than we thought it was.
Yeah.
You know what? We didn't know Princess Leia and Obi-Wan knew each other. Now we do. Does that change anything? Not really.
Not really, no.
Does it change the moment when Yoda says, that boy is our last hope? And or no, Obi-Wan says that. Obi-Wan says, that boy is our last hope. And Yoda says, no, there is another. That doesn't change that either, because maybe Obi-Wan's thought is like, no, that chick's a politician.
Yeah.
She's not a Jedi. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's also just that, guys, don't let this shit ruin this for you. Watch it and just enjoy it and fit these clues in. You know, that's how I've justified this. I'm not going to sit here and pick this apart and be like, well, this didn't make sense because this is how I know it and understand it.
You know, I did not, when I watched this series, it wasn't until it was brought up that I even considered any of this, because I actually sat down and just enjoyed the show like I do with the movies. I just enjoy the movies. They're fun, and this is supposed to be fun, and we're supposed to have a good time with this.
Let's not forget this is for kids.
Yeah.
And we were all kids when we saw it, man.
Yeah.
And
there was joy in it.
40 years ago, there wasn't the Matrix and Marvel movies and all these other things, all these sci-fi Lord of the Rings movies and all these other amazing sci-fi fantasy adventures, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Limited.
Yeah. Very limited. So that shit blew our minds, you know, and it's like, and then we've had since then, every movie has tried to be Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, we want to have fun characters that get on these fun adventures like Star Wars when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? I want to have cool special effects and spaceships like Star Wars when I was a kid. You know, lasers. I want to tell stories about pirates in space like Star Wars when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it is like you said, just have fun with this shit. Is it always going to make sense? No. Does it make sense that in the final episode, Reva gets to Tatooine? While they're still being chased by that ship out of space, that doesn't make any sense, David. Do I care?
No.
No, I don't. Because you
Not
know what?
Even a little.
The story has to move forward, man. We don't have time to get her. Do we care how she got there?
No.
I'm assuming she found a ship outside. You know?
Just hopped on.
Yeah. I don't need everything explained to me.
Handheld.
So, right. So, anyways. So, Princess Leia's kidnapped. Obi-Wan has to go after her because Bail is like, hey, man, you owe me.
Yeah, get and on this.
Bail is an idiot, too. Bail Organa is a moron. Jimmy Smith's what a moron he is. But we'll get to that here in a minute. So, all right. So Obi-Wan has to, and man, this dude hadn't used the Force in 10 years.
No, he's rusty.
Rusty. And that's what I loved about it.
Yes.
You know, I love that it's the Force is something you have to practice. You know, and
but that did make me question. You would think alone on a pretty barren planet for 10 years doing nothing, why wouldn't he be in his little cave staying in tune with the Force?
Because it can be detected.
Oh, so it's Vader can,
yeah,
can
I tell. Mean, yeah, the yeah, they yeah, Force powers being used is something that can be like felt through the Force.
Really? So when Vader was standing above Obi-Wan after smashing down a mountain on top of him in a hole, he couldn't use the Force until that, oh, he's not dead yet. Maybe I should pile some more rocks on.
Well, he's...
I'm kidding.
But I mean, that's Vader just being, you know, arrogant.
Yeah.
And again, I a lot of people have problems with both of their fights. I thought they were both great.
That was so much fun. Loved it.
Two different reasons. I actually think Hayden Christensen fucking rocked this show.
The best Darth Vader that we have had through any of the movies, I think. Just the way that he is not a big, clunky, robot-looking individual. He looks like a menacing...
But he's still Jedi. Anakin. That's what's great. He's still Anakin. And everybody, you know, okay, so let's get to the first fight. I think it was on Dayu is the planet. Reva's like, hey, man, I she's kind of working with Vader.
Yeah.
She's like, because she's trying to move up in the chain. And she's like, I got Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's the boy you're looking for. I know that's your boy and you want him. And I'm going to help you get him. I'm like, she tracks him down against the Grand Inquisitor's wishes. And yeah, so she tracks Obi-Wan down. We get Vader and Obi-Wan, this first meeting, which I loved because dude rolls into that town and he's just murdering people walking down that street, dude. How great is it that Hayden got to do some actual Darth Vader shit?
Yeah.
You know,
he got to be the badass.
Revenge of the Sith. After all these years of hype that Vader hunted down and destroyed the Jedi, we got a room where he walked into a room with some kids and started his lightsaber before it cut away.
He was Smallville'd.
We got nothing. We didn't get him in the costume until the end.
The last 30 seconds.
All he does is, where's Padme? Is she alive? And then he just does that. No. Which I can. You have to look up the French version of that scene.
Yeah.
Which is really easy to find on YouTube because, like, everything is the same except for the no. And the no is different. It's amazing.
Really?
It's so weird.
All right. Okay, so everybody find the French version.
I think it's the French version. I think it's French. It's one Owen sends me. Anyways. But yeah, we got to see him do some actual Darth Vader shit.
Yes.
And he has, you know, he's walking down the street going, I'm going to snap his neck. First time I see him. But what does he do? Instead, he threw a fit that whole episode.
A tantrum.
He was mad that Obi-Wan wasn't strong enough to fight him, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of annoyed that he's powered down.
Yeah.
If you rewatch it, he slashes at him. It's just like a little toddler throwing a fit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm mad at you and I'm just, I don't want to hurt you. Because he could have easily killed him.
At any point in time.
At any point, but he never does. Fan argument, bad writing. My argument, he doesn't want to kill Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No.
It's still his master.
Obi-Wan doesn't want to kill him.
Yes, he's exactly. Even though at the end he knows, like, I can't let this guy get away. But he's just like, man, fuck you, dude. I mean, maybe kind of short-sighted. Probably should have lopped his head off.
Yes, he 100% should have.
It's like if you've ever had a friendship or a relationship, you have to understand why he didn't do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, it'd be like, I mean, if you turn into an evil, bad motherfucker, and in 10 years I'm like, motherfucker, I thought you were dead. You're just this piece of shit. And you're like, well, fuck you, man. You didn't kill me. I fucking did it. I'd be like, fuck, David, fuck off, man. I mean, you know, just,
fuck David.
I get that. We'll just, right. You just walk away. It's just like, you're not even worth my shit anymore, you know?
No, I'm not dealing with you.
Right, and that's what Obi-Wan had in that moment. So in that first one, I mean, you know, you had Anakin dragging him through fire when he could have just pulled him apart.
Yeah.
You know?
Force-choked him to death right there.
Absolutely. I like that about that. All right, so they have their first fight.
Obi-Wan gets away.
Yeah. There's a couple of there's one nice moment around this time. I think it's right after this, where he's talking to Leia and she asks him about her parents. She asks him, are you my real dad?
Yeah.
That scene was amazing.
So
and
good.
And he's just like, I wish I could say I was.
No, sorry.
It's you know, I mean, it's just like, again, another, you know, in the stuff, every time he talked about her parents, you know, I mean, just her mom, you know. It's like she's, you know, even in that scene, you talk about how she read him. It's like she's reading him in that scene.
Every
like,
scene.
And she's like, he knows more than he's letting on.
Yeah. And she keeps picking at him. You got to give me something.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about Hayden. Hayden gets some nice moments here.
Yeah. Deserved.
We get a nice, aside from just actually getting to see him cutting people down inside the Jedi Temple, I'm like, okay, this is 20 years too late.
Yeah.
But fine, we got to see it.
I'm glad it's here.
Here it is. I'm spacing out.
There's the episode that's built around the sparring that Obi-Wan and Anakin did, and it's just basically a flashback remembering this.
Yeah, that was like Attack of the Clones time. Yeah.
Early and phenomenal. Yeah. Just the way they built this episode around this combat of Anakin just being so arrogant and so full of his own ability. He loves Obi-Wan, but at the same time views himself as above. I've grown beyond you.
Yeah, and totally.
So this fight where he's just so aggressive and commanding of the tempo and the pace of this fight, only to have everything shift in a moment and have no control over anything that's happening. And Obi-Wan is just so composed and seeing so far ahead of this situation. Just the way they mirrored that episode too, that I thought Deborah Chow did a fantastic job putting that episode all together.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I mean, if anything, just to see them
just going at it.
Just see them as Anakin and Obi-Wan again after all those years. I thought that was a good... It's fan service, but in the best way. And I also hate that fucking word, fan service. Fan
service?
Sometimes it's not fan service. Sometimes it's just part of the plot.
And I love when
sometimes
Star
it's not
Wars
a cameo.
Fans,
sometimes the person's just in it.
Yeah. The fans that get so upset about fan service. Well, and then get pissed when there's no fan
it's
service.
Like, it's Star Wars. There's Star Wars stuff in it. How is putting Star Wars stuff in Star Wars fan service?
Yeah, and what about these actors that grew up loving this shit the same as the rest of us that now I'm an actor and I'm in a position where I can pick up the phone and say I want to be in this movie and you're going to let me be in this movie?
Yeah, man.
That who the fuck wouldn't do that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They didn't makeup. They didn't de-age them. Really much at all, huh?
They didn't do a good job with whatever it was.
I actually didn't think... I wasn't worried about the job they did. I actually appreciated that they didn't do much.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, although he looked 20 years older...
He did.
Anakin looked badass.
He did.
He actually looked... They are probably the ages now that the characters actually should have been in that... you know what I'm saying? Like, these ages are where Anakin Skywalker... And Ewan McGregor probably actually really would have been.
What, mid-40s?
Yeah, 30s, 40, you know what I'm saying? You know, as opposed to 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just feel like it...
Should have been later.
Yeah, that's where, you know, when I was a kid, I wouldn't have thought they were in their 20s during that time. You know what I'm saying? I would have assumed they were adults.
Older.
30s, 40s.
More mature.
Yeah. But so it was just great to see them again, man. Like I said, this only disappointment is I didn't see little Ahsoka, but they'll save that.
Yeah.
Temuera Morrison, the clone trooper.
Yeah.
That was nice. And really disappointing to find out. It doesn't surprise me because I knew they didn't produce any, but it's the first time he's ever worn clone armor.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They didn't produce any for the prequels.
That's wild.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a whole thing that involves dragging your fucking costumes around and putting them on display.
Yeah.
You know,
and
some of the ones I've seen have been the actual costumes from you know, the original trilogy, yeah. But I'm like, okay, so you're, you know, now it's just like, that's just a clone trooper costume. It's yeah. Like, you mean nobody wore it? Who gives a fuck, man? But that was cool. I mean, that was a nice, and I just, in my head, I'm just like, he totally recognized him. How could he not?
You think?
Well, I mean, he literally looked the exact same. Brown hair, beard, fucking Jedi robe.
Yeah.
And
the robe's a dead giveaway.
He was one of the 501st, so he was one of Anakin's troops that went in.
Really?
Yeah, based on his armor. So he would have known him. Huh. And I just, again, kind of assumed that, I mean, it's been years. He's down on his luck. The government's not doing shit for him, so it's not like he's going to be like, hey, I know you. You're wanted by the Empire, yeah. You know? He's probably just like, thanks, man. Cool. Move along. Good stuff. So let's get back to Reva.
Okay.
Big plot twist.
Big plot twist.
Well, not really a big plot twist, but I mean, I think we all saw it coming. But Reva was a Jedi. A Jedi youngling.
She was a youngling.
She was at the temple when Anakin threw his little fit and murdered all the kids.
Not all of them, apparently. He did a poor job murdering
kids. Did he stab her? Or was that just like her remembrance of it? Did he? I mean, because also that's another thing that fans can maybe be a little annoyed with, the fact that so many people can be stabbed in the stomach with lightsabers now.
I was holding my breath waiting to make this point.
It does nothing now.
How many people, at least three people, got stabbed in this series and didn't die because of it?
Yeah, Grand Inquisitor, Reva, and maybe Reva twice.
Yeah.
One being when she was a kid. And they kind of plot armor it by, you know, be like, revenge is, you know, really good medicine or whatever. Yeah. It's just like, okay, so the only reason Qui-Gon died is because in that moment when he got stabbed in the stomach, he didn't want to revenge anybody. Yeah. He didn't seek revenge.
In his heart.
It's like, so the only reason Han Solo died is because he fell off that bridge and not because
he
got
survived. Yeah, he just like laid down.
That I think needs to be dealt with a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have to, you can't keep stabbing people with lightsabers.
Yeah.
Because
maybe if they're Jedis, they have some way of, you know.
Well, Kylo Ren also got stabbed. Didn't Rey stab him in Rise of Skywalker? And then she like force healed him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
So maybe you got internally force. Maybe they're the Wolverine.
Yeah. You got to be careful with that. Because it's like, otherwise it's like, why doesn't your hand just grow back then?
Yeah.
Weird. It's just like, I mean, you know, you're not having the lightsaber duels all of a sudden aren't having consequences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's a nitpick that I'm like, fix it. Just stop doing it.
Yeah.
Stop stabbing people in the stomach and have them be okay later on.
Same goes for blasters. Don't think you can substitute blasting someone in the stomach.
Well, I mean, to be fair, in Return of the Jedi, Leia got shot in the gut.
Yeah.
On Endor. Or somewhere. She got shot in the hip or something. Something like that. And she did
A glancing wound is fine.
Something. Yeah. I mean,
Don't shoot me directly in the gut.
Yeah. It was. I don't think it was bad. She made it. And she also got blown out of a ship. And
yeah. That was cool.
Floated. So.
The Michael Jordan.
Stop doing stupid shit, Disney. Yes. Okay. Just if you think about it and be like, would this really? No, it wouldn't really happen. Even if the Force is involved. That's true. All right. So Reva used to be, that scene with her and Obi-Wan is great.
Wonderful. They had some nice
both back and the forth. The on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, talking through it.
And then the you know, where he's just like, yeah, I'm bringing Vader to you. And she kind of starts kind of get down, like talking to him, you know, like, all right, now how are we going to do this then, fool, you know?
I get out of here.
You know, and you know, everybody in my family is like, aren't those soldiers listen? I'm like, dude, that's their boss. They cannot listen. I mean, you know, it's just like, even if they're listening, they're, you know, it's not their job to question anything going on, you know. So a couple of really good scenes there with them and kind of bringing all that out. And she, and again, you know, you get caught. I feel like we're gonna get a Reva show.
Do we need a Reva show? I don't know that I liked her. That I enjoyed her in the context of this show. Yeah. I don't know that I need an entire show, unless it's like a cool ass Inquisitor show where you've got like, you know, five of them and they're going out and doing some cool stuff. But I don't
kind of curious how she latched on with the dark side.
Yeah.
Anyways, but you know, there was some good stuff. I don't know. There's just my, you know, there's some questions there. It, and you know, that's her story. There's not plot holes, but there's questions in there.
Sure.
How'd she get there? And how, you know, but the fight with her and Vader, that was great too. Cause yeah. Again, he didn't want to kill her either.
Nope.
And everybody that gets bitchy, like, oh, Darth Vader's supposed to be this big, powerful, badass dude. Slow your roll, because literally the original trilogy is all about there's still good in him.
He's not the badass that you think he is.
Padme's dying words, there's good in him.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
Luke feels it.
It's all been like this, you know? So I really like the fact that we saw Anakin in the Darth Vader, that it wasn't just him going around mowing people down and saying stupid lines or, oh, you know, and then, you know, it was, you saw Anakin. He's still angsty. He's still jealous of Obi-Wan.
Dude, that scene at the end where he has half the mask cut off.
Yeah.
And his voice goes back and forth.
Let's get into the second duel here.
I couldn't hold it on anymore, Tim. I needed to.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
The thing.
The second duel is the duel we've been waiting for. And before we get into that, let's go back to canon of, I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The last time I was the learner, now I'm the master. Nothing, he did not say, the last time I saw you, I was cut in half, dying on a fucking lava beach.
Yeah.
That's not what he said.
Nope.
He said the last time we met. Cool. This, I'm assuming, is the last time they met.
Could be.
I don't feel like we need another meeting between now and then.
I don't know.
If they do another season, bring in Darth Maul or something.
With his robot legs?
Sure. Asajj Ventress. There's a couple other villains they could do.
I want robot legs.
But we get that, and we get this nice duel with them squaring up on whatever fucking planet they were, some little desolate planet. It's very personal. There's that great, yeah, he does, Vader's whomping his ass there at first. Mm-hmm. And he buries him in that, you know, and I was waiting for him to be like, now who's got the high ground?
Yeah. Why they did not take the stance and their callback to that. That would have been glorious fan service.
I feel like it's there, though. I mean, you know, we're all thinking it.
If you didn't think that.
Yeah, we're all thinking it. And then, you know, and I really loved how he didn't bury him. He was like force holding, you know, he was like holding all that crap with the force. That's pretty impressive. Yeah, so it wasn't like he got buried and he was like, oh, let me climb out because I'm not hurt by all these rocks falling on top of me. That was when his strength started coming. I mean, you know, that was when he was really fully hitting his, like, his energy level.
He Spider-Man homecomminged it to
him. He what?
Spider-Man homecoming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Vulture buries him under all of the rubble and he has to stop and think and reflect and... Then he does it.
And it was nice, yeah. I mean, and it took, you know, the thoughts of Luke and Leia to get him over the top there, and then he was very much like Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi. He was tapping into the dark side a little bit himself. His anger, he was just like, all right, dude, fuck you, I'm done with you. And an amazing moment where he slashes that mask.
Yeah,
and we get
to see
Hayden's face through it. And it's a nice little callback to the episode of Rebels where Ahsoka slashes the other side of his mask and you see his eye through. And this is the first time where she realized, you know, cause you know, she starts to walk away and he just does the Ahsoka. And she's just like,
what,
you know, another thing I will say before we continue the duel, to go back to questionable writing, I'm really not sure that after 10 years he wouldn't have known that Anakin was still, you know, he knew he was named Darth Vader. And I just don't think, it's, no matter what he's ignoring, that rumors of the Emperor and Darth Vader mowing motherfuckers down across the galaxy hadn't come across him.
He heard it in a bar somewhere.
Or, like, you know, at the end of Sith, it's Yoda and Obi-Wan and Jimmy Smits on that ship. Uh-huh. The name Darth Vader had to have come up at some point. Even if Bail calls him and is like, Darth Vader's still alive?
Yeah, Vader's still a thing.
But it's fine. Because it did make for a great moment when Reva pointed out, you know, when she mentioned that. It was an amazing moment. So it all comes back to, you know, this duel and this moment where he gets to see his former Padawan's face. Just and both of them in that moment were so great. And, you know, for me, dude, my kids grew up watching this shit. You know, they were all kids when the prequels came out. So this was like just one of those moments that was like amazing to come around full circle to. Yeah. I didn't get to watch it with Nick or, you know, or Owen for the first time. But, you know, just like Nick texted me going, oh my God, you got to watch this episode today. I was like, oh man. And for me, it's just like, I just know he's like a little kid watching this, watching Anakin and Obi-Wan again. So, you know, it's like, it's the first time that the story felt like it had continued.
That's the thing.
Right, you know what there, I mean? Tim. Like the Mandalorian's fine. It's very standalone. Very standalone. If Luke Skywalker had never shown up, man, it has something to do, but literally nothing to do with.
It takes place in the same context of everything else, and that's fine.
This sequels is kind of like fan fiction. I mean, you know, it's like it's not that I don't. It's not that I don't consider it part of the story. It's just, you know.
Well, and a vast number of people think that they shouldn't.
Right.
And but that this is the first time again,
that
Tim.
Something that a storyline. Well, but they also like bring all these new people and we barely are with the characters that we, you know what I'm saying? But this is the first time that they took characters that we cared about.
Know and love.
And continued their story and brought them to a moment, you know, that had meaning to what we'd seen before. You know what I'm saying? So that moment where they're looking at each other, and it was just so great, and how they kept shifting the red and the blue across Anakin's face. And just the line of, you know, you didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. And then he just kind of, he smiles. I did. That was awesome. You know, and that's where he's just like, yeah, you know what, dude? I'm done.
Yeah.
I could kill you. I mean, It's a bad move. Ultimately, he should have just ran. I mean, just I guess he'd have to stab him in the head because I was gonna say he should just stab him in the stomach, but that wouldn't do anything.
He would have lived.
You know. So I thought it was a good moment.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's like the rebel scene. Fine, but you know what? Not everybody has watched.
I have not watched Rebels.
The shows and read the. That's like saying you can't have stuff in the comic books be kind of repeated. I don't read the comics. I've read some of the books, a few of the books, not even a lot of the books, just some, you know. It's you know, sometimes it's just having a callback.
Yeah.
And George Lucas said it rhymes. It's supposed to rhyme. It's like poetry. So all these things are supposed to kind of repeat these themes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and it does here. Was this perfect? No, man. There's a lot of things like little Ice Cube's kid. That guy, what the fuck was that character? Doke, is that his name?
Yeah, you didn't Roken? Enjoy him?
No, I liked him, but it was just like, he was just like.
What was the point of him?
The purpose of his character was to continually like contradict his character. Like he's supposed to be like, I'm here for these people, but I'll totally help you. You know, like he even does it, like in one, his initial appearance, he even says within like the same rant, I'm not going to help you. And then he ends with, I'll help you.
I'll help you.
It's just like, at what point I'll when you were around. Talking, did you change your mind, dude? So there's things like that. But again, these are things that have to happen to advance the story. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is. Like Reva gets stabbed by Vader in the next episode, she's looking for Owen on Tatooine.
She's just all right.
You know, well, yeah, but it's like, how'd she get there so quick? Because Obi-Wan's ship is still being chased by the ship that chased him off that planet. So how'd she get through there into another planet before they're like, not, you know, it doesn't matter. End with Luke. That was nice. The chase through the sands.
Yeah.
He never sees the lightsaber.
No.
So going back to canon.
Yeah. You got to have it.
He never saw the lightsaber.
Nope.
Dude did. Owen and Beru. But Luke was not, she didn't have it out when he saw her.
When he saw her.
And then when she was about to stab him, obviously he was like knocked out. So, but man, I liked it.
Loved it.
I thought it was what I wanted out of that show. I mean, it was just some Star Wars entertainment week to week. It gave us some great moments with Hayden and Ewan. And come on, dude, that's like one of my favorite. Is there a better pairing in Star Wars? I mean, you could give me maybe Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford, but
yeah, that,
I mean, you know,
that's tough to beat.
Yeah. After that, dude, I mean, it's Hayden and Ewan, but you can also just feel that love that they have of working together. Yes. And you know that Harrison and Mark, obviously they're family to each other. You know what I mean? But you can almost see the Anakin Obi-Wan bond
between them.
And that's what I like.
I don't think that it probably took much effort on the part of Disney to get these two back together to do this project. I bet this was an easy sell based on the way that they feel about this series, these characters.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if they'd, you know, do another a season. This was supposed to be a standalone.
Yeah.
But I think it's more likely we just see Ewan McGregor pop up in other things. He'll definitely pop up in Ahsoka.
Doesn't Vader need to pop up in Ahsoka?
Oh yeah, Hayden's already signed on for that. Okay, yeah, great. They've already announced him. So
wonderful.
Yeah, more so Vader. We'll probably see Vader and Anakin in that.
Okay, great.
I imagine we'll get some sort of a Vader show, because you know what I'd like to see now? Now I'd like to see a Vader show where it's like him working out. You know, like a Vader montage. A
montage destroying planets.
Right. Yeah, no, this is where you get that. Fucking Obi-Wan punked my ass again. That's it. I'm gonna fuck everybody up. That's it. It's over now. You know, now we can see that.
A five question for you.
Go for it.
So just based on where we're at in Obi-Wan, would you rather be a Jedi on the run or an Inquisitor doing the hunting?
Yeah, Jedi on the run.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you know.
Inquisitors seem like they're having a pretty good time.
Yeah. I mean, they get cool outfits, I guess. Cool hats.
They get to scare the shit out of everywhere they go.
That one dude was you don't watch Fast and Furious, but, you know, he played Han on the Fast and Furious movies. The other dude. Well, fifth brother.
Oh, okay.
The fifth brother, third sister, And his great thing about that, his name on that show was Han Solo. Because it was Anyway. Anyways, that's Obi-Wan, man.
So good.
That's Dallas, baby. All right, man. Obi-Wan Kenobi is on Disney Plus.
Stream all episodes now.
Yeah, man. I mean, what's up next? Andor, which I'm looking forward to, actually.
When is that?
August, I think.
Oh, this year?
Yeah. Huh. I got a couple shows coming. Ahsoka's coming next year, and apparently Tyke is making a movie. I guess that's the next movie now. Patty Jenkins' movie is not on the front burner anymore. Yeah. I don't know what happened to her. Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, she was really upset with fans after that. Does she really want to dive into the Star Wars fans?
Yeah, the way she acted in some interviews, I was like, oh, you're not ready for Star Wars.
It's pretty rough.
You're not ready.
Star Wars fans will have you for lunch, ask Mr. Johnson.
Hey, he's handled that fine, I think, though. I don't know if Patty would, though.
No, I'm just saying they went after that guy.
So, all right, man. Well, David, it's good to see you again. Hooligans, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. Sometimes we post, at least I'll post new episodes. We will have new episodes coming up the rest of this summer and into the fall and winter, baby. So,
beyond.
Yeah, man. we get back, we got some new content coming up. Dave and I saw Top Gun, so we'll talk about that at some point.
One of these days.
There's a Thor movie coming out. Maybe we'll talk about that. Yeah. I don't know. All kinds of other stuff.
That one.
Jurassic World, we can just not talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Cool. Real Hooligans, baby. We out.